Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Breeze hands it off to Latavius Murray. He's got room. Bounces out to the left. He's at the 10, the 5. Touchdown! Latavius Murray from 26 out. And the Saints strike early here.
6:16 on his Monday morning. Victory Monday. Highs of 69 today. It's getting a chilly start. Highs of 42. And a beautiful sunrise is underway if you can somehow enjoy that safely, you know, while you're driving and all that stuff. If you look at the penalties yesterday, one in the first quarter against the Saints, three in the second quarter, three in the third, and then six in the fourth quarter, actually seven, but one was declined by Carolina. Mike Dettillier joins us, WWL NFL college and football analyst. Hey, Mike.
Good morning, Tommy.
I had to clean this up. Earlier I was saying the Saints were in the NFC West, and let me tell you why mentally I was saying that. Because I watched his damn 49ers game last night, and I know the Saints got a big game coming up with the 49ers, and I was flashing back to the day when we were in that damn NFC West with the 49ers, and we couldn't get past Montana, and then Steve Young, and that's where my mindset is, and that's why I put the Saints in the NFC West instead of the NFC South. That being said, your thoughts on the game, Mike?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. Man, well, my dad told me about it.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. But I get it. That was some tough Sundays to watch them go up against the 49ers. But whatever. You know, yesterday it wasn't a great played game, but you found a way to win. Mm-hmm. You know, my thing is, in a 16-game season, you're going to play games like this that you got to fight and scratch and claw and do what you got to do, but you got to come out with a W. And that's what happened yesterday. It wasn't a real clean game on both sides, so to speak. Things to be worked on for both the Saints and the Panthers. But you came out with a win because you know what? When they look in that record book, you ain't getting nothing extra for style points.
No, you're not. It ain't
just
figures.
Just like the 49ers clean Green Bay's clock, it don't give them nothing extra. It's a win. One. But you could see yesterday, man, the penalties. And this isn't just the first time this team can chime up this many penalties. That's not a good sign. But we talked about it in the pregame. The Panthers are the least penalized team in the NFL. And look what they got yesterday. I think three overall. And the Saints ended up with 12. That sort of went to form. And this officiating crew is number one in the NFL in calling offensive pass interference calls. And you saw it yesterday, too.
This would be Alex Kemp Cruz, in case you're wondering. He was the referee.
They were lousy.
Yeah.
Absolutely lousy. Listen, I talked to a former NFL head coach last week, and he's been through all year. He's been around for a while. And he told me, he said, you know, I've been through this steroid age. We've went through this situation of strife in the NFL for money and free agency. I've seen all the things that have happened over the last couple years with, you know, the NFL catching heat for some players maybe coming out for things outside the football world. But he said, you know, the one thing that's going to crack the vase with the NFL, he says, is the marriage now between gambling and officiating, which is becoming worse and worse at every level. Hey, so I'm just telling you, if the owners don't clean this up in the NFL, it's going to turn a lot of people away because their feeling's going to be it's not legit.
We're going to pick it up here. We come back. Mike Dettillier, our guest, WWL NFL and college football analyst. If you have any questions or comments for him, you can text them to 87870, and I'll pass them along. I'm glad the Carolina kicker spent more time in a weight room than he did actually kicking the ball. It seems as though 6:20 back in a flash. Tommy Tucker, WWL, Mike Dettelier, our guest here now, traffic on WWL. All right, here we go. Saints still are the second seed in the NFL if they beat the 49ers. And, of course, there's a long way to go. But, Mike, if they beat the 49ers and then they win out, they lock up the number one seed, correct?
Correct. Okay. But there's a lot of more water that's got to run through the creek.
Absolutely.
Before all that.
And you got to just worry about Atlanta on Thursday night, Thanksgiving night, a short week. You know, if you and I had spoke on Friday and we'd have said, you know what, we're going to hold Christian McCaffrey to 64 yards on the ground and then 69 in the air, we're going to win this game pretty handily. And we did, but we didn't.
Well, listen, because I think this is one of the secondary's worst games. Kyle Allen, he does a couple things real well. Man, he threw those slant patterns, and they never covered that. Same thing with McCaffrey coming out the backfield. Mm-hmm. They're still looking to cover him. So it wasn't a good day in the coverage part of the game. I thought they did a nice job. Corral and McCaffrey as a runner. They didn't let him go off. And you got to go back to 2017, in November of 2017, the last time a running back has rushed for over 100 yards against the Saints. So they did their job against the run yesterday. But, man, Kyle Allen, once he got hot and he throws a couple passes and they could not stop it. And, again, that's what he prefers, that slant pattern, and he went time after time after time about it. But again, it was the penalties, too, that just was devastating over and over and over again. So it wasn't a good day on the back end, put it to you that way.
Cam Jordan, you know, that's the last thing I expect from him in either way. If it's an attempt to knock the ball out, I don't expect that from him because he's smarter than that and more talented than that. If it's a cheap shot, I definitely don't expect that from him.
In today's game, man, you can't touch a quarterback.
No, you can't.
You can't touch him, basically. It's almost flag football. So in that spot, where you seeing that he's in the grasp of the player of someone else, you got to let up. That was surprising to me. It happened to Cam. Now, maybe somebody else, it wouldn't have been a surprise. Mm-hmm. But for Cam, it was. But it goes to show you, everybody's human. You made a mistake.
Yep.
And I get it. I get it. He's trying to punch the ball out. But in a spot like that, you're going to get caught. and that changed momentum because they had it going their way for a while.
That was on 3rd and 16.
Yep.
That happened. In terms of the secondary, how much is Marshawn Lattimore going to change that? Because it just drives me crazy. You know, if you play street football, if you play high school, if you play college, what's the number one rule? Don't let anybody get behind you, right? A receiver. And when I see this 61 or 51 yard bomb, whatever it was that Kyle Allen threw, I don't understand how, and I think a lot of fans are like this, how their receiver can get behind the safety and everybody else.
Well, in that type coverage, the fault is on both of them. Can't just blame it on the corner, and you can't just blame it on the safety. No, you got to be physical with that receiver in that little area and kind of get him off his route. And on the back end, that safety can't let him outrun him.
Mm-hmm.
So the fault, you know, everybody, well, whose fault that was? Well, it was both of them because you got to be physical with DJ when he comes off the line of scrimmage. And then afterwards, that safety can't let him. You're the last line of defense, and you cannot let him get past you. So that was the fault of both of them on that play. You right off the bat, and not rerouting him, and then again, letting that receiver get past you on that deep route.
You know, one thing I think they got to change, and we can talk about this when we come back. It used to be where they would blow the whistle on a running play when the back was standing up pretty much and stopped, and it was illegal for an offensive lineman to run into the back of the running back and push him forward. Now, for whatever reason, I guess apparently it's not. And I watch a lot of football over the weekend, so I don't know what game this was, but the guy is driving toward the goal line, and they have a defender that's in position to make the play, and he's just watching it. Then he realizes that the ref's letting the play continue, and then he decides to get in and start tackling. Yeah, you can talk about that when we come back. I don't know if that's a good thing for the game or not. And if y'all have any questions or comments, 260-1870, you can text them to 870-870. And Mike Dettelier, our guest, will comment on them. A lot of comments about the officials, about how can they get better. And one question I have is it a self-fulfilling prophecy where we have so much scrutiny on them now that they're under pressure and they're making mistakes? Are we just noticing it now? Or is there something nefarious at foot? Right now, WWL First News, Dave Cohen. 644, 16 before 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Highs today near 70, nothing but sunshine, but we're off to a chilly start. It is 42 degrees around the area right now. Mike Dettelier, our guest as always, WWL NFL and college football analyst. They will be second-guessing at the Silver Slipper Casino on the beach in Hancock County, Mississippi tonight. The coaches show as well. I'll give you more details on that in a little bit. Mike, on the plus side, Saints did a lot of good things yesterday, and let's not get distracted by the officiating. Offensive line injuries. First, we had Andrew Speed. Now we got Teron Armstead on the left side. The guys that filled in, Easton, and I can't pronounce the other guy's name, didn't do badly from what I saw.
No, he did a pretty solid job because, you know, when you're a backup, you're not getting a lot of rep time. And so he came in, and he did a pretty solid job there, and he won't get a lot of rep time this week either before the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not doing any practicing this week. Are you just kind of walking through and everything else since the game is on Thursday? But overall, the one thing I'd like to see is in a game like this, when you can see the Panthers keyed on Alvin Kamara, mm-hmm. Every time he touched the ball, it looked like you could have took a team picture of their defense. I ain't kidding you on that. Giving it a little bit more to Latavius Murray, getting him more, because he seemed to be in a little bit of a groove yesterday.
Yes, he did.
Running the football. Again, it's the balance issue you're trying to do there. Mike Thomas, again, I don't know what more you can say, but week in, week out, he comes up with the big catches. And I like the way they got Jared Cook much more involved in the mm-hmm. offense now, and he came up with some nice catches. So, yeah, it just wasn't all inconsistent, and I guess that's the term you could use across the board. Offensively, defensively, the special teams, Will Lutz, coming through when you really needed him. You saw how much a kicker really means to a football club yesterday from both sides. And the thing about officiating you brought up in the prior segment, and I think that's the thing that's more annoying to me than anything. The inconsistent nature of the calls. If you're going to call it one way and call it the other way, I get it. And, you know, hey, listen, we balance the scales that way. But don't be one-sided about it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing, if you're a fan, if you're an observer, whatever, that drives you up the wall. Oh, how can it be that inconsistent? And this rests on the shoulders of the owners of the NFL. You can't just go to the meetings and just get your picture in the paper and do an interview. You got to come up with something, and if we're hearing it, okay, people in the business like what we do hear it, every time you turn around, they got to hear it too. You got to take a stand somewhere, and this is where we've had a couple former owners on the show with us say they bring up things, and listen, it's all going to be okay, just let it be. Look all the money you're making. So that can't be the case, because I think it's a detriment to the game today.
Do you think it's because the photography is better, the technology is better, so their flaws are being exposed? Do you think because we are concentrating on their flaws, they're feeling the pressure and as a result making more mistakes? Do you think there's something nefarious at play here? You mentioned gambling before. Is it just a lack of training on the part of the officials, and would full-time refs make a difference? Jump in wherever you feel comfortable on this, Mike. What do you think?
Well, here's my thing. It's done by humans, so you're going to have human mistakes, okay? But now technology is far beyond anything you could have in training. That you can see a play kind of broke down, Zapruder-like, frame by frame by frame, and see exactly what it's all about. And so that's where I think technology has to be able to get helped in some of these calls. But I do think it's long been time for full-time officiating in the NFL, where it seemed to be if you are an NFL team and you're sending people out to scout crews to see which one calls the most amount of penalties in a certain spot, good gracious, if that's the case, then you know it's telling you the story.
Right.
There is some finances involved here. If you're a full-time official and full-time officiating, because they're going to have to give up their other jobs. But come on. At this point, you can't be running this like a mom-and-pop operation.
No, you can't.
This is a multi-billion-dollar business. And this is where the owners of the NFL have to step in and say, enough's enough. Because, again, if we're hearing it, they're hearing it too. And it's got to be stopped with it. And it's got to be a consistent nature of the game being called. And it's at every level, not just pro level, also at the collegiate level where you see it there too, the high school level. And that's where I think you're starting to see the big hits. A lot of these high school officials, their deal is, man, listen, I'm not doing this anymore.
No.
I work with people that I don't think know the game very well. They're calling it their own way, and have become almost independent contractors as officiating instead of working in a crew.
All right, we'll take a break, pick it up here. We'll come back, 6:50, 10 till 7 more with Mike Dettelier right now here, WWL Traffic.
First and goal from the three. Breeze will be under center. I formation. Ginn in motion left to right. Now an arc motion back. Breeze is going to throw over the middle and touchdown. Mike Thomas in the back of the end zone. 3 yards out to Mike Thomas from Drew Breeze. James Bradbury, Trey Boston nowhere near him. And the Saints back on the scoreboard.
6:53, 7 before 7. Tommy Tucker, quickly, let me remind you about Mike Dettelier, Bobby Hebert tonight, live. Silver Slipper Casino on the beach, Hancock County, Mississippi. They'll talk about Saints, Panthers, and, of course, the Rouse's Markets Coaches Show, featuring Saints Executive Vice President, General Manager Mickey Loomis, Director of Pro Scouting Terry Fontenot, and former Saints Head Coach Jim Moore, because it's a short week. Sean Payton's busy. Then Monday Night Football between the Ravens and Rams on your home for the Saints, LSU, and NFL, WWL. Anyway, let me tell you about, or ask you about Mike Thomas, because I got a text on this, Mike, and I think it's a very good question. Nobody seems to have been able to yet. Is there any scheme that the Saints have to be worried about wherein the opposing team be able to take Mike Thomas out of the game? And if they do, what happens then?
My thing is, if there is a scheme, how come they haven't used it yet?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. It's not like Mike Thomas just walked on the field last week.
Mm-hmm.
He's faced a lot of different schemes since he's been in the NFL. Listen, a lot of people don't want to give talented people credit. I do. He is a talented guy. And no matter what you've done to slow him down, he still makes play after play after play. But it's human nature a lot. There's a hidden, scheme that's going to all of a sudden stop Mike Thomas. He's played in a lot of football games, and they have not slowed him down yet. The same thing you could say about McCaffrey. No matter what, they did slow him down running the ball yesterday, but look the impact he made as a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what, there are people more talented than others. A lot of times people don't like to say it. But it's the truth. There are some people that are just better. And he has seen every scheme that you could possibly imagine thrown at him. The thing about it is he's doing it without a real true number two receiver on the other side that's taking some of that pressure off of him. That's what's the most amazing thing when you watch Thomas. That's why I like to see Jared Cook becoming more involved in this offense. He's easing a little bit of that pressure off of him, but still, that's a part on this football team down the stretch they got to get better at. They got to get those young receivers. If it's Traquan, hopefully Keith Kirkwood, probably next week, back in the lineup, that can help out in that category.
When it comes to the Falcons on Thursday night, Thanksgiving night, what's different in terms of a preparation for a short week, a very short week like that, as opposed to regular preparation for a game?
Well, there's little practice, if any, because, come on, you're still sore from the game, you're getting ready, you got to travel, and that sort of thing. So it's not like you don't know who the Falcons are. You've played them a lot. You know their personnel and coaching staff, and they know yours. So you're well familiar with them. And, yeah, you still, you know, for some players, you're still hurting on the Thursday. The thing about it is you got a long couple of days off after that football game. So it's totally different in that the practice time is little to none. It's a lot of film work. Not a lot of walkthroughs, that sort of thing, because basically you got to have all this done by Wednesday because you're playing on the Thursday.
Yeah, it seems like you mentioned earlier about Latavius Murray getting a groove. Alvin Kamara yesterday looked like the old Alvin Kamara. In terms of getting both of these guys touches, considering that sometimes, you know, like Latavius Murray gets hot, would it be better maybe to, or has any thought been given to giving them each a series where you know, there's your series, and if you're hot, keep running the ball while you're on a hot streak. Does that make sense to you?
I know what you're saying, and Latavius is a volume carrier. The one thing with him is if you just give him the football five, six, seven times, most of the time it's not huge numbers. Now, yesterday was a little different. You know, he broke off one real early in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But for most backs, they want double digits. That's what they want. They want to carry the football 10, 12, 15 times, and they feel in the groove. Yesterday wasn't one of those type of games where you could give both of them. To me, you got to go with the back with the hot hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you sort of know it. But again, every time you saw Kamara touch the ball on a run, man, the Panthers had a gaggle of people there. They were ready for him. And that's the game plan for teams. You know, listen, let's make sure that Kamara's not going to beat us running the ball. And so you scheme up to stop it. That's when you maybe got to feed the ball a little bit more to Latavius.
It would just seem like in terms of getting in a rhythm, series to series would be better than play to play.
Well, that's not the way Sean's going to do it. I'm just telling you. He's always been that way. It's always sort of an in-and-out situation and a lot of scripted plays, a lot of plays that he feels as though will work against a certain defense. And so if you're waiting for that to happen, we might be waiting a while.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate your time. We'll talk to you Wednesday, all right?
We'll do it, brother.
All right, Mike Dettelier, WWL NFL and college football analyst. Of course, we'll listen for him this afternoon. He and Bobby J's second guest from the Silver Slipper Casino. And, of course, the Rouse's Markets Coaches Show. Saints Executive Vice President, General Manager Mickey Loomis, Director of Pro Scouting Terry Fontenot, and former Saints head coach Jim Mora. Then, of course, Monday Night Football. When we come back, we're going to talk to our friend, former LSU quarterback Herb Tyler.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.